Good morning. How are you? It is good to be here. Why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. Dear God, we come to you together, and we thank you because you are good. Good seems like such a shallow word to use after we've thought together about the cross and what Jesus did for us. You are infinitely good. We thank you, God. God, as we remember what you've done for us through Jesus on the cross, we come to you in humility and in submission. And as we read your word and listen to your voice, Jesus, we would ask that you would give us hearts that would receive what you say and that would want to do what you ask of us. That as we listen to you, that you would change us. So help us as we read. Help me to explain well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So look at Matthew chapter 6. Probably the last time we'll do that for quite a while. So enjoy it. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 33 especially. It's the verse that we jumped over last time. As we're going through Matthew, there's big themes that jump out, and we've been in the middle of looking at this big theme of God and money and what Jesus says we should do with our money and how we should view our money. And in the middle of that, he says something that, well, it answers the question in one verse. It answers the question, how is all this supposed to function? What is the purpose of this? What is this thing that we're a part of? Is this just a thing that we go to on Sundays for an hour and kind of, you know, punch our card and put in our time? Well, what does it mean to be part of God's family and to be part of a church and to follow Jesus? How does it all supposed to work? How is it supposed to look in my life? See, I like to take a Sunday a couple of times a year, normally at the beginning of the year, and as we kind of get towards the end of the year, start the fall, and just take a minute and step back and say, okay, what are we supposed to be focused on if we are Christ followers? What is our life supposed to look like? What are we supposed to give ourselves to and dedicate ourselves to? And I think this is helpful for you, for example, if you are not yet a Christ follower, if you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus and you're kind of investigating and you're here and you're saying, okay, I want to see what this looks like and what it might look like for me. Well, looking at this and what Jesus is going to say will help you know what it would look like for you and what it should look like in your life if you made the decision to follow Jesus, so you can make kind of an informed decision. And then if you already are a Christian, if you have made the decision to follow Jesus, but you've always felt like there's something more, like you come to church on Sundays and you're like, I know there has to be something more to this. When we look at what Jesus says, you'll realize, yeah, there is, and this will guide us into becoming more fully devoted followers of Jesus. And maybe you're someone who you say, I'm kind of all in. I'm kind of this is kind of my life. I do a lot of stuff in the kingdom, and that's really important to me. Maybe this will just be a motivational reminder that you're giving your life to the right thing. Keep doing it and guide us as we do that, whatever the case may be. And the big idea from this text, from Matthew 6:33, is that Jesus calls us to seek his kingdom above everything else. He calls us to seek his kingdom over everything else. And as we read the text, you'll see it's a high call. It's not an easy call. It's not something that you could say, well, you know, I could kind of work that into my life. No, following what Jesus is going to say to us today, it actually would require giving him your whole life and devoting your whole life and your whole purpose to that. And I think it's pretty obvious as we read, and you tell me as we look at it, but I think it's pretty obvious that this is not a call that Jesus makes to, you know, kind of his select few. This is a call that he makes to everyone who would follow him. This isn't something that he says, if you're kind of in that group of professional Christians, you know, the ones we pay to do ministry, or if you're kind of those really sold out radical people and they're really into church, this is for you. No, Jesus says this in a universal way. This is his call to anyone who would follow him. Let's jump in verse 31. We're in the middle of the section we looked at last week where Jesus is saying, you can trust your Father to take care of you. And in the middle of that, he says, so do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, and we saw last week, that's people who, in our context, that would be people who don't have a relationship with the Father. The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And this is the verse we skipped over that we're coming back to today. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then he ends by saying, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You read verse 33, and you go, wow, that's a high call. It's a big, huge, you could even say huge call. That's a big deal. That's an inspirational, a kind of impressive thing that Jesus is saying. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hey, but at the same time, as we say, that's huge and impressive, it's also kind of, well, it just seems like theory. I mean, maybe a song we would sing, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But how do I do that? What does that actually look like? How do I seek first the kingdom of God in my life, in practical terms? And what I want to do is chop that verse up and look at some of the words in it, because I think as we do, it'll become very clear. It's not just an impressive, huge, out there call. It's actually a very practical thing that Jesus calls us to. And when we look at the words that he uses, we'll see it's a practical. There's a very practical way in which we are to do this. So the first word, seek first the kingdom. This answers the question, okay, what is this that I'm supposed to be seeking first? What is the kingdom of God? Is that like a church or a specific church or a religion? Or is it being a good person? What is the kingdom? What am I supposed to seek first? When he says kingdom, that takes us all the way back to the beginning of creation. It's bringing the kingdom of God to this world, to people's lives in a tangible way, which takes us all the way back to creation when the God of the universe made a perfect creation, and then his creation, those who made in his image, specifically humans and angels, rebelled against him and said, we want to be like God, and wanted to take his place. And as they did, they broke creation, and creation was broken, irreparably broken. And then from that time forward, God began to promise that he would send a rescuer to undo the effects of the rebellion and to establish his kingdom. And by doing so, he would open up a way for people to be restored to their creator, rebellious people to be reconciled to their heavenly Father, to be forgiven, and to be brought into a relationship with God, with their creator. And then Jesus came to do that, to bring God's kingdom to earth, to start the process of bringing the kingdom, and someday he will return to fully establish his kingdom. And he left his followers with the task of not just being part of God's kingdom, not just having their own personal relationship with God, it's you and God, it is, but he left his followers with the task of continuing his work of bringing his kingdom to other people's lives, to helping other people be part of his kingdom, to be reconciled with his Father. And his church, his body, are his collective group of people, and in specific places, groups of people who are part of his kingdom, who have given themselves to being his physical representation in this world. That's why the Bible says that we are his body, we're his physical representation, and together we are part of his kingdom, and we are part of those who are helping other people enter his kingdom. That's the kingdom. That's what we call people to be part of. That's what Jesus is saying we should seek first. And there's a couple of reasons that I think we'll find the answer to in the verse, but there's a couple of reasons why it's hard for us in our day and time to seek first the kingdom, to seek first the reconciliation with God the Father of the other people that live around us. Why it's hard for us to seek that first. The first reason is because we don't know how. Do I invite people to church? They said no, so I guess I'm done. How does it work? How would I seek first bringing the kingdom of God? I mean, Jesus came and started talking about and healed people and died on a cross. He did some things that were very specific to his ministry, but then he wants me to seek first bringing that same kingdom to other people's lives. How do I do that? How do I do that? And then the second reason is because, well, I just have so much stuff going on in my life that I kind of got to keep going if I'm going to eat and, you know, live indoors and survive and have any hope of, you know, living a semi-normal life. So let's tackle the first one first. How do we do this? How do we seek first the kingdom? And that's, I want to focus on the word seek. So seek the kingdom, seek first the kingdom. How do we seek? What does it look like to seek the kingdom? And see, for us, it's hard for us to know, how do we do that in practical terms? How do I do? So what I want us to do today is to think about our lives and think, okay, how could I seek the kingdom? What would that look like for me in this place, in this time, in my life, with all the other stuff I have going on? And I think it would be helpful for us to do that, look at the end of Jesus' life, when he took this, seek first the kingdom, and he made it very practical before he went back to heaven. Look at Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus is talking to many of the same followers, and he's about to ascend into heaven, and he gives them very practical instructions for how to seek first his kingdom, for how to seek his kingdom. How do we seek his kingdom? Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples," or followers, "of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe," or obey, "all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's take that apart and say, okay, does that tell us how to seek the kingdom? And it does. It gives us the mission of the collective church. It gives us our individual mission. It tells us how we can work in the kingdom. And it tells us how we can be focused on the kingdom. And what is he saying? He's saying, help other people follow me. Who's he saying it to? He's saying it to his followers. So what do you have? You have followers who make other followers. And he's saying, you guys do this together, individually and together, and I'll be with you. So there's an element of community to it. He's saying the way that we seek his kingdom is by being followers who make other followers in community. That's how we do it. Followers who make other followers, disciples who make other disciples. It's why we could say things like, the reason we exist as a church, as a community, is to help other people who are far from God find peace and purpose with their Father God through Christ. That's why we exist. And I know that the first and the biggest objection that comes up in our minds when we look at something like this and say, okay, followers who make other followers in community, that's how I seek the kingdom. How does that look in my life? Well, my life, I have a lot of stuff going on in my life. I don't know how that would work out for me. It probably works out different for you. You know, you preach or whatever, but how does that look like for me? I don't know if that actually works with what I do. And here's the thing. The way that this looks, being a follower who makes other followers, it will look different for everyone because we all live different lives around different people. There's different people that live in our homes. There's different places that you and I go to and different things that we're involved in. We're around different groups of people, which is part of the beauty of the body of Christ, because we're followers making other followers in completely different circles. But we live in different places with different people and do different things. We live different lives. So how you and I can be followers who make other followers will look different for each one of us. But the part that's the same, the basic components, followers making other followers in community, that's the same for everyone. There aren't exception clauses in either this Great Commission or the Seek First the Kingdom. Jesus is saying, this is what y'all are supposed to do. And our job, individually, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is to figure out what that looks like in each one of our lives. I can't do that for you. You have to do that. That's what I have to do for myself. How do I be a follower who makes other followers in my life? So let's look at the different parts and see how we can make seeking the kingdom practical. Well, it's first of all, it's by being a follower. That's implicit in the Great Commission. Jesus does not tell everyone to go make other followers. He tells his followers to make other followers. So how do we do that? Well, it starts with you and I living lives devoted to Jesus and to being like Jesus, to constantly spending time with Jesus, to reading our Bibles, to listen to Jesus, to talking to Jesus when we pray, fasting, to bring intensity to our relationship with Jesus. It starts by us making the decision to follow Jesus, by repenting and being baptized. It starts with us examining our lives after that every day and saying, how can I be more like Jesus today? How can I act more like Him? It's always us personally seeking our next step in our path of being like Jesus. Because in order to make followers, we have to be a follower. But then as we follow Jesus, we can't just get stuck on it's me and Jesus. We're supposed to make other followers, go into all the world and make other followers, baptizing them and then teaching them to obey everything. We're supposed to make other followers. So it's followers who make other followers. That's the focus. That's the explicit focus of this command. That's how we seek first the kingdom. It's by making other followers. How do we do that? Well, by helping other individuals become followers. The stuff we do as a congregation is wonderful, but the actual meat and potatoes, I think that's a thing, right? That's a saying? Okay. The meat and potatoes, like the center of what it actually means to fulfill the Great Commission and be a follower who makes other followers, it's you and I helping other individuals follow Jesus, other people, one-on-one. It's you and I helping people, well, Jesus said people who aren't followers yet, help them become followers and bring them to the point of being baptized. So part of making followers is investing ourselves in people who aren't yet Christians. And then it's also investing ourselves in individuals, in a person who already is a Christian. It's having somebody on the outside and somebody on the inside that we're investing with. And you say, who do I do that with? Who do I invest in? Who do I guide? Well, start close. Start in your home. Who are the people who live with you? Your captive audience. The people that you can say, you know, with a reasonable amount of certainty that you could say every day, let's read the Bible together. And you could actually make that happen. And every day you could read the Bible and say, what did we just read? And what should you do? And how can I help you make your next step? And it's making followers of the people who live in your home. And then looking outside of that to the people God's put around you and say, who's the other individual who is a Christian, and who's the other individual who isn't a Christian, who's around me, who I could guide towards Jesus? And then it's investing your life in those people by opening your house and your schedule and your refrigerator and spending time with them, spending time with other people and investing in them. And maybe you can't study with them today, but you can pray for them today. So it's every day praying for people that God's put in your life already who are far from Him. That's how we be followers who make other followers, is by we pray for them, we spend time with them, and then we look for opportunities to say, could we read the Bible together? A while back, there wasn't anyone in my life who I was studying with who was a non-Christian. When that happens, it's like the Spirit kind of like wakes me up. I'm like, wait a second. I'm not studying with anybody who's not a Christian yet. That's not good. I need to, not in a legalistic way, but I'm drifting off mission. And so I started praying, God, would you give me a study with someone who's not a Christian? And that's a prayer that God answers. In this case, he didn't answer it right away. But a few weeks later, ran into a guy and we started talking, and he asked me if we could study the Bible. That's never happened before, I don't think. But I'd been praying for that, and so now every Tuesday night we go, or Wednesday night, I don't know, it's on my calendar. We go downtown and we read the Bible together, and he wants to become a Christian, but he's not sure if he, anyway, he's on his way. Ask God, say, can I study with someone? And God will give you the opportunity, and then we have to have the courage through the Spirit to say, would you study with me? Could we read I Want Peace with God book or whatever your favorite study is, or just open up the Bible and read the Bible together, but help them take their next steps towards Jesus, whether they're already a Christian or they're not a Christian yet. Guide them with God's Word to be closer to Him. Followers who make other followers. And then look at the community element in the Great Commission. I am with you always. It's the plural you. So it's y'all are doing this, and I am with you. There's an element of community in that. We're not each out by ourselves fulfilling the Great Commission, being followers who make other followers. We're doing it collectively. It's a together thing. So we're supposed to be in community. We're supposed to live as a family. That's part of being followers who make other followers. So that's why we have Sundays. Sundays are our big celebration. It's our time when we come together and we remind ourselves of what we're supposed to be doing and our mission, and we sing together and we get motivated and we go out and for the rest of the week and we try to live on mission and fulfill the Great Commission with the people in our lives. That's why we get together throughout the week in small groups and read the Bible together so we can have times of confession and times of ministering to each other in more intimate environments. We're supposed to be followers who make other followers in community. That's how we seek the kingdom. We're followers who make other followers. And then look at the hard part. As we've talked about all that before, that's kind of probably a reminder for a lot of us. It's like, oh yeah, I should be focused on helping someone get closer to God. I should be investing in someone. But then the hard part, look at the next word. Seek first the kingdom. First. It's the first part. It's that priority thing. See, that's a problem for us. That's the hard part. That's the hard part of this verse in Matthew 6:33. Okay, I know how to seek. I know what I'm seeking. I'm seeking the kingdom, which for me means helping other people to be in a relationship with their Father, return to the Father. How do I do that first? I don't want to seek that first. You know why? Because I have so many other really important things that I have to do in life. I have other things that are kind of top priorities. I want to work this whole seeking the kingdom thing in, kind of fit it in, you know, put the, you've heard of the time management strategy. If not, this will be helpful for you. You know, you take, you know, your big jar and you put the big rocks in first, the big stuff that you have to get done first. And then you, if there's, you know, time left, you pour sand around it. Those are the little tiny things. They come later and they just kind of fill in the cracks and crevices. But if you put the sand in first, what happens? Well, the big rocks don't get in. And so I want to think, you know, like my job and my family and well, mainly those things and my hobbies, the stuff that I really like, those are the big rocks. And then this kingdom stuff, you know, seeking the kingdom, that's kind of like the sand. I'll just dump that in around and it'll just kind of fill in. That's like the leftover time thing, you know. I'll make disciples when I'm able to, when I have, you know, time in my schedule. Well, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, seek this first. Seek the kingdom first. That should be our first priority. In all of my life's demands and all the busyness that I have, I'm supposed to seek the kingdom first. And he makes emphasis on this because look at verse 32, saying those who don't know God seek, same word, right? Seek all these things. What? Where they're going to live and what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink and what they're going to wear and the stuff and all the stuff that we need. But your Father knows that you need these things. So you can either run after your life, and then he says, but you seek first. He's saying there's supposed to be a contrast. What I'm supposed to put first, the big rock, is helping other people know God. That's supposed to be the biggest thing in my life. Instead of focusing on me, I'm supposed to focus on the kingdom. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to put the highest priority in my life on Sundays and being part of my small group and being faithful with the work that God gives me and studying with people. That's supposed to come first. And there's two parts to seek first. When you say seek first, that's like primarily. That's more than anything else. If I'm going to seek first the kingdom with any integrity and be able to say I'm seeking first the kingdom, that should be the biggest thing in my life. That should be the thing that I have to work. But if I'm at work, am I seeking the kingdom? Am I praying for the guy working next to me and seeking an opportunity to talk to him? Am I working so I can have money to pursue what is the main focus of my life in the kingdom when I'm not there making money? Is the biggest thing in my life seeking the kingdom? Well, if I'm seeking the kingdom first, it is the biggest thing. It's the big rock in my jar. It's the thing that I set in there first, and it takes the space that I would like to give to so many other things, but that is the big thing. Other people should be able to look at my life and say, your focus is the kingdom. That's kind of what you're all about. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And again, that's not for professional Christians. That's for anyone who's a follower of Jesus. The big rock in our life is supposed to be the kingdom, bigger than anything else. And then the other part of seek first the kingdom, it's supposed to be before everything else. And again, this is the hard part of the teaching of what Jesus is saying. We're supposed to put priority in the kingdom before everything else, over everything else. It's supposed to come first. It's supposed to win the conflict, the battle with all the other things in our schedule. You know, I think sometimes we have a fantasy that we can follow Jesus in a way that there's not conflict with others, the other stuff that we want to do. Where we won't have to ever make hard decisions. Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? I can follow Jesus and I do everything that I need to do and that I want to do and then still work in enough of Jesus. But Jesus here, by saying seek first the kingdom, he's taking for granted that there will be conflict in our lives. If we're seeking the kingdom, there'll be conflict between there's a study I could go to or I really want to go to the lake with my boys. Now, I should go to the lake with my boys and I find time to do that, but this should come first. That's what he's saying. There should be conflict between what I want to do and what the kingdom wants me to do, what would be seeking the kingdom. There should be conflict. I would really like to just zone out and listen to rantings on the radio, but if I'm seeking first the kingdom, maybe I would turn that off and spend my drive time in prayer for the people that I'm going to be seeing today. I don't want to do that. There's a conflict. Jesus is saying there's going to be a conflict, and seeking first the kingdom is putting priority on kingdom tasks, on the stuff that he wants us to do to help other people know him. It's saying that comes first. My kid has a game, but we have our small group tonight. Well, of course I'm going to go to my kid's game. Do you? What does seeking the kingdom first look like? It's putting priority on the things of the kingdom over our own things. And Jesus said we should choose the kingdom first. And if you're about to raise your hand and say, yeah, okay, but what am I going to eat? How am I going to make ends meet? If the kingdom is the biggest rock in my life and helping other people, and if that comes first, you know, I could work some overtime or I could study with that guy. How am I going to make ends meet if I don't do the overtime? How is it all going to work out if I put the kingdom first, if I take the tasks that God gives me in my life? How is that going to work out? If I read the Bible with my boys at night, I'm going to miss that half an hour of my favorite show, and that's when I relax. How do I work that out? How do I live my life? And if I'm putting the kingdom first, how am I going to be, you know, a happy, healthy, well-adjusted person? I can't do that. And look at the promise. Look at the last word, added. All these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That answers the question, what will happen with my life if I put the kingdom first? If I put top priority on all the stuff God asked me to do, on investing in the people that God puts in my life, what happens with my life? He says, God will take care of you. We don't have to worry because our Father takes care of us. That's what we saw last time. And this is especially true, Jesus is saying, when we put top priority in his kingdom, the more that we are devoted to his kingdom, the more that we can trust that our Father will take care of us. That's how it works. And that's a promise that he's saying. And it's a reality. And many of you have experienced this reality. Many of you have gone, have done things, and you said, that just doesn't make sense. I don't know how things are going to work out. But I know God's asking me to do this with this person, so I will do that. And then your Father takes care of you. It's a promise that God fulfills. He takes care of us when we put his kingdom first. We can trust in our Father. So if being a follower of Jesus is being someone who gives their life to seeking first his kingdom, being a follower who makes other followers. And the question for us is how can you and I give ourselves more to that call? How can we surrender ourselves more to that call? And maybe for you, that's making the initial decision to enter into Jesus' kingdom. Maybe you've never told Jesus, you can be my Lord, the boss of my life, the one who gets to tell me what to do. I want to be God's child. I want to live in submission to God, my creator. I want him to be my Father, not just my creator. And for you, then that means surrendering to Jesus by repenting and being baptized, by making a decision in your head and your heart that you will give yourself to him, and then with your whole body being immersed in water and telling God, I'm yours. I will give myself to seeking your kingdom first. I'm entering into your kingdom. Now I'm going to help other people enter your kingdom. If that's you, and if you say, I want to make that decision, or when you are ready to make that decision, tell someone here. This is a community of people who wants to help you make that decision to surrender to Jesus. And for those who have already made that decision, you're a Christ follower, you've given yourself to Him, I think there's a couple of questions that you and I need to ask ourselves. Given what Jesus said, seek first His kingdom. First question that every Christ follower should ask themselves, who am I guiding? Who are the people that I'm actively investing in? Who's the person who's a Christian and who's the person who's not a Christian that I'm pouring my life into, that I'm spending time with, that I'm praying for, that I'm trying to study with? Who are they? What are their names? Who am I discipling? Who am I teaching? Who's the person? And for me, this doesn't count. I don't get to say, well, I taught all those people, so that's my... No, I'm supposed to disciple individuals. I'm supposed to teach individuals. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Who are you guiding? Who are you teaching? Or if you say, I'm not sure, then who should you or could you start to guide, start to disciple? The second question, if you're a Christ follower, that you should ask, that we should ask ourselves is, how can I give a higher priority to seeking the kingdom in my life? How can I put more priority on working with Jesus? And let the Spirit show you where you've been kind of lowering the priority on things that God has asked you to do, and then obey Him. So what is your next step to seeking first the kingdom? How can you give yourself more to serving Jesus and His kingdom? Why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we'll sing together. Dear God, we come to You right now. And anytime, God, that we look at what You ask of us, the complete radical surrender to You and Your kingdom, we also ask, God, that You would remind us of Your love for us, of Your grace, of the way that You've brought us into Your family, and You've given us what we don't deserve. You've been so unmeasurably kind to us. So, God, I pray that You would help us to respond in a radical way in our lives, that we would be a community of people who radically dedicates themselves, all of us together, to following You, to seeking Your kingdom first, to being followers who make other followers. That You would give us opportunities to do that, God, and that You would give us the courage and the willingness to say yes. But that we would be a people who would do that, God, not because we feel forced to, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love You, because we know how much You've loved us. And we are just overwhelmed that we can be Your children. On top of that, we're overwhelmed that we can help other people be Your children. That's incredible. Help us to live that out, God, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.